He wore only a shirt and camo pants, unwilling to wrap up too warmly against the night cold. The chill edge kept him awake and alert. As he squatted, with one hand resting on the cold earth, the short grass bristly beneath the pads of his fingers, his other hand rubbing at eyes raw from sleep, he became aware of a vibration that ran up through his fingers and along his arm. Perhaps in the business of day he wouldn't have noticed something this slight, but in the absolute still of the night, it was apparent.
Huh?
JB rested his other hand on the ground, palm down. The vibration was faint, but growing stronger with every second. The armorer strained his ears.
Son of a bitch.
Rising smoothly to his feet, he could no longer feel the vibration, but the faint rumble was still there, not growing appreciably louder. Turning, he ran back toward the encampment, not wanting to raise the alarm by shouting, in case there were scouts ahead of the oncoming wag who could hear him. As he reached the hooded entrance to the plastic and canvas wall, he almost ran into Margia. The Amazon was grim-faced, her white teeth and blonde hair shining in the moon's reflective light against the dark of her tanned flesh, barely covered even in the cold night.
Something's up, honey. Some way off, but...
A wag? Maybe old pre-dark sec?
Uh-huh. How'd you know, sweets? Same your end?
Yeah. So it's at least a two-pronged attack.
Margia looked around. Dean and Tammy hadn't yet joined them, and so were presumably at their posts.
The young ones aren't here, so unless they're not as aware...
Unlikely.
You got it. I guess they're just going to try to pull us in opposite directions. One from where they come from, and one from where we come from.
That's assuming that they come from the settlement.
Good assumption as any. Anyway, stop arguing and let's get everybody up.
Inside the camp, all was still. The fire that warmed the camp now dying. The muted lights, all that prevented the camp being immersed in total darkness. Both armorers moved toward the Queen's tent, joined on the way by Tammy and Dean.
Guess you know what we're here for.
Yeah.
Anyway, JB, we could see you and Margia move past us, so we knew before it became obvious.
Need to get everyone together as soon as possible.
Margia arrived at the tent first, where Peter rose from out of the shadows. As always, he was guarding his queen and mentor.
Wags approaching on the southwest and northeast. Not much time, boy, so tell Glow I said we need to move.
Nobody tells Peter what to do. Not even me.
Gloria emerged from her tent. Despite only being awakened by the discussion outside the tent a few moments before, the warrior queen was pulling on her clothes as she emerged. She smiled at Dean as she caught his expression on seeing her firm breasts before they were covered.
Huh, when you're older, son.
If only.
JB, Margia, how big are the wags?
Hard to tell for sure, Gloria. I'd guess they were at least 6 tonners. The rumble was low enough to suggest they were really digging into the ground. Could mean a lot of men, a lot of firepower.
How come they're getting through that jungle?
Could be old rail cattle grids to move the foliage. They wouldn't be that dense under that much weight. I've seen it done before, but that will make them harder to attack, give them some serious armor.
Blindside Gren attack.
If you get the blindside.
Jack Lauren emerged from Gloria's tent, not fully clothed, and checking his Colt Python.
Still playing then, Glow.
Leave it, Marge. We'll sort this between ourselves later. Now we've got more important things.
They always are. I'll get the armory opened up. That's if you can spare at least one of your little protégés. See you soon, dearest sister. Why, you...
Ignore the bitch. You and John know what to do.
As Peter left, Ryan and Christy approached. They were closely followed by Mildred and Doc. The companion's tent was near enough to Gloria's in the new camp for them to be awakened by the exchanges, and they were already partly aware of what was happening. JB filled them in on the rest, while Gloria dispatched Tammy to wake the other warriors and prepare them for battle.
Plan, Gloria?
Ryan was prepared to follow the Gate Queen's lead until such time as they were out on the battlefield and initiative became imperative.
Rock in a hard place. If we stay in here, we're sitting targets. And if we move outside, then we're in plain sight to be picked off. At least outside we can scatter and distract.
Maybe a pincer movement with the fastest outriders to draw fire.
It'd be a suicide mission.
Maybe, but not necessarily. If each group then splits and maintains a zigzagging pattern, they can draw fire into empty spaces. After all, chances are that whoever this is hasn't had a real combat situation. Unless you count coming up against their own experiments in the woods.
Right!
Ella! Ella!
The roused and alerted women quickly drew close to their leader,
We need outriders to draw their fire.
Me!
I'll go, Gloria.
All right. Lydia, Walela, Yuzan, you're the fastest. Go!
We're on our way.
Evasive action, women.
Got it.
Ryan gathered his people around and spoke while they all checked their personal weapons and took Ren's passed out by JB.
You know the plan, people. It's the only one that's possible for any of us right now. But I don't think any of us like it. So stay frosty and look for ways into the WAG. Jack, you've got the best throwing aim of any of us. If you can get a grin in any gaps they may leave.
No need to say. One hole, many dead.
Okay, let's do it.
Now that they were clear of the woodland and out in the open, it was possible to see that the WAGs were six-tonners, as JB had surmised, with armor plating and caterpillar tracks behind the front wheel's radials. The front of each WAG carried a large metal grid that was shaped into a wedge and was sharpened in order to cut through the foliage. A clear path was visible behind each vehicle as it sped out of the woods and onto the flat plain. Neither vehicle noticeably increased its speed, preferring to maintain a steady pace. It would see that both drivers wanted to arrive simultaneously at the gate encampment. This enabled the tribe to get their outriders onto the plain and toward the WAGs before they were in a position to begin an attack. The companions were the next party to leave. Where there had been only the one entrance originally, two had been cut quickly into the sheeting by the tribe's men to enable access onto those northeasterly and southwesterly sides of the camp from which the danger threatened. Splitting from the middle of the camp, Dean followed JB, Mildred, and Doc onto the southwesterly side, in company with an Amazon group that included Margia and Tammy. Ryan, Jack, and Christy went in Gloria's group. As soon as they emerged, it was obvious why there had been a lack of firefighting from the outside of the camp. The outriders were proceeding at pace toward the approaching WAG without meeting resistance.
Stoops. How the fuck do they expect to attack head-on with a WAG that has any possible blaster points on its front blocked by something like that?
To Ryan's amazement, the grill that had cleared the woodland for the WAG was so large that it precluded any positioning for a machine blaster on the front, making a frontal assault risky at the best of times.
Don't knock that stupid works piece of ironmongery, sweets. I'm all in favor of it, if it evens our odds.
Will it, though?
The WAG coming toward them was heavily armored, and even if it was unable to blast them from the front, it was well enough secured to make any access from the outside virtually impossible. The initial outrider party had now reached the machine and was circling it with a zigzag movement, the riders making themselves as scattered and difficult to hit as possible. Then the firing began. Gloria stopped momentarily in her tracks as a beam from a laser rifle cut through the night air, drawing a straight line of brilliant light in the darkness, scorching the earth around the feet of an outrider with a crackle that raised small plumes of smoke. Fortunately, the aim was poor, and the woman was able to dive easily out of the way. But the sudden introduction of the pulsing light beams caused confusion in the Amazons, who began to lose speed and falter in their maneuvers. Gloria saw this immediately and put her hands to her mouth.
If they fire out, must be way in.
Jack broke away from Gloria and Brian, speeding away to join the outriders.
Et toi!
Gloria watched him go, streaking low across the plain, cutting between the gate warriors. Her face betrayed the mix of emotion within her. Ryan, though, was concerned at what would happen should Jack get hit before he had a chance to pitch a grin into the WAG. The young warrior was far and away their best chance to immobilize the WAG. Ryan couldn't see there being another option. After all, it was unlikely that the Illuminated Ones would be stupid enough to leave the security of the WAG. On the southwestern side of the camp, the Outriders had followed a similar pattern, moving out ahead of the main parties on a zigzagging course. And they, too, had been taken aback by the laser pulses. JB, Mildred, Dean, and Doc were in the main party with Margia. In the heat of battle, all animosity had been forgotten as they pulled together in this common cause.
Sweet muty fucker! That's one hell of a blaster! Whatever the fuck it is.
Seen them once before. Some kind of weird old tech, but erratic.
No accuracy? Why use them then?
Why not, when they're such an unknown quantity? The shock value alone's worth it. And when they hit home, they're really nasty.
Is that so?
JB and Mildred exchanged a look. The thought of the blonde armorer in charge of a laser blaster wasn't a pleasant one. And JB made a mental note that if they got through this in one piece, then he tried to make sure she was unable to get any of the weapons. But first, they had to fight off the attack, something that seemed to be an impossibility as the first gate casualty was claimed by the laser blasters. The outrider was small, even by the general standard of the gate tribe, and she had a mane of black hair that flowed down her back as she ran. She was stocky and moved close to the ground, seemingly too fast for the erratic laser fire to hit. But there were always moments of fate, turning points, where one wrong move could make all the difference. And perhaps that moment was when her ankle turned on a divot of loose earth.